This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, November 30th, 2025. This is how we know the true God.
Good morning, Connection Church family.
Good morning.
I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Anybody still digesting out there? Still working on it? You got one more day. Yes, I hope you had an awesome holiday. I hope that whether you had a quiet one or a busy one, whether you traveled or stayed home, just hope that you found time to be grateful, time to reflect, time to thank God, time to thank God for all His gifts, all His blessings. We're here today to praise God for the greatest gift of giving us His Son and eternal life through Him and His living Word that points us to Him. And actually, the book of 1 John is all about those things. The Son of God and His eternal life and His living Word. We've been studying this for a month now, going through the book of 1 John. And so today, before we get into the Christmas season, we are finishing this series on the book of 1 John. This is how we know. Honestly, even though it's five chapters, we could have spent half a year studying this book of the Bible. There is so much in there, but we covered a lot in four short weeks. And today we're finishing by looking at the last chapter, chapter 5, and we're mainly going to be camping out in the closing section. So if you follow along in your Bible, you can go ahead and open up on your phone or in your book form, if you still do analog Bibles, okay? Still recommend it. Open up to 1 John chapter 5. We're going to be camping out in verses 12 to 21. And checking out how this awesome book concludes today. But before we dig in, let's just pause and prepare our hearts a little more for the Word. Let's pray. I invite you just to take a deep breath and do your best to be fully present in this moment. Turn aside if there's any distractions inside you or outside of you. Just let them go. Let's just ask God that He would help us to give our full attention to His presence and His truth this morning. God, we say thank You as we come to worship You together. We can never thank You enough. May there be praise in our hearts and on our lips every time we turn to You, God. May that be the first thing we say is thank You. No matter what season we're in, what we're going through, You are always worthy. And You have done so much, and we can never stop thanking You and praising You. We remember that when Jesus prayed with His disciples in the upper room, one of the things He prayed was, sanctify them by Your truth. Your Word is truth. And that's my prayer this morning, God, that You would sanctify us by Your truth. Make us holy. Purify us with the true Word of God this morning. We're hungry and we're needy and we're thankful that You provide. So Lord, speak to each and every person here. Each and every person. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God's people say, amen. So we're going to begin with the end. We're going to start with the very end of 1 John. I want you to see how this book ends. Conclusions are important, right? It's very important. How you finish something, what you leave people with, has a big impact on the whole thing. An iconic finish to a book or a song or a movie can really make or break a masterpiece. Think of all the epic movie finishes that are out there. I don't know what movies you think of. I think of the Braveheart finish, you know, freedom. What else? I think of The Sixth Sense, that crazy plot twist where you find out he's actually a ghost. Spoiler alert. Big spoiler alert. Bruce Willis is actually one of the ghosts. Breakfast Club. Don't you forget about me. Who's old enough to remember that? Not everybody here remembers that. Indiana Jones riding off into the sunset. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun, dun. Come on now. The Avengers, Tony Stark. Hold on, see that? There it is. There's Okay. Anyway, finishes, conclusions are a big deal. So how do you end an epic message like 1 John? It's been an incredible message. He's taken us through so much. The apostle has taken us on a journey through deep waters, talking about the word of life and God is light and God is love. So what's he going to do to conclude this? It's actually, to me, one of the most surprising and interesting endings in the Bible, maybe of any biblical book. It's interesting. I want you to hear the closing section leading up to it, and then you'll see how it lands. Here's what he starts to say, beginning with verse 18 of chapter 5. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. We know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. So far, it's pretty awesome. It's very much 1 John, a little bit hard to keep up with, right? But now listen, you ready for the big finish? Here's how he ends it all. He says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. The end. Roll credits. That's his big finish. It's kind of surprising. It's kind of random. Like, wait, we're talking about idols now? And then there's no explanation. It's just over. After everything else you covered, you're just like, by the way, keep yourselves from idols. Goodbye. It's the only time in all of John's writings that he mentions idols. He has Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. This is the only time. He just drops it there and then leaves it. So it's got to be important. And we need to figure out why. How does this factor into the bigger picture of 1 John? Because this must be important if he's going to leave us with that. To understand why John ends this way, I think it helps to remember how he began. So let's now remember the beginning of this book. We talked about this 4 weeks ago now. It opened with these amazing words. He says, verse 1, chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. So from the beginning, that's going back a long time, isn't it? That's like all the way back to in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1, the beginning. God, the one true God, the only one worthy of all worship and honor and glory because he's the creator of everything. And in his gospel account, John opens that by looking at the beginning and he says this. We looked at this before. He says, in the beginning, this is John's gospel, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. So everything that has been made, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the author, sustainer, redeemer of all things. Think of all the good gifts. We just celebrated Thanksgiving, so it should be fresh on our mind. Everything you can imagine to possibly be grateful for has its source in him. In him was life. Anything you enjoy, anything that gives you joy, it was his idea. He invented it. Friendship, family, children, loved ones. The shining sun, the blue skies, the moon and the stars at night. Trees and forests and flowers and fields and oceans and rivers and mountains and valleys. And I feel like I'm need to start singing a song or something. I don't know. But all that stuff. Food. Haha. Wow. Music. art, laughter, romance, storytelling, all the colors you can think of and the ones that you can't, all the creatures of the earth, all the wonderful, magnificent places just waiting to be discovered, the glory and the wonder of everything, life itself, yours and mine. In the beginning, God created. And that's what John has in mind when he opened up the letter. That's what he's thinking about. Hear it again. That which was from the beginning, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. The source of life, the author of life. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. That's what it's all about. That's what this whole book's about. Jesus, the Word made flesh. And so after opening that way, thinking about the beginning and the source of everything, you know, John took us on this whole journey through all these profound lessons about God and living in the truth. And then he moves towards the conclusion in chapter 5. Here's a really key verse, a powerful summary. 1 John 5:11-13, and he says, this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. I write these things to you. I write this whole message to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Okay? God did not create us for death. He created us for life. But we know that in the beginning, the first humans were deceived by the evil one. It's his whole game plan is deception. It's how he operates. His power is to lie. We were deceived. And humans bought the lie that we could find the life we desired apart from God on our own. That was like the lure of the forbidden fruit, Genesis 3. You'll become like gods. You can do it on your own. You get to be God. You get to be boss. And they bought that, but all that it brought them was death, not life. And since then, we've been trying to find life outside of God. Since then, instead of worshiping the Creator, we've made idols out of his creation. We worship the things made rather than the one who made them. And since he's the only source of life, turning away from him can only lead to death. There's no life outside of him. C.S. Lewis wrote, there is but one good, that is God. Everything else is good when it looks to him, and bad when it turns from him. So the Son of God, the Word of life, stepped into our world to bring us back to the true God and to true life. He is eternal life. To have Jesus is to have life. To reject him is to reject life. So why does John leave us with this warning about idols? Because once you have life in Jesus, the only thing that can ultimately keep you from enjoying that life in God is false gods, fake substitutes. Think about what an idol is. Have you ever thought about this or studied this? An idol is anything other than God which we give ultimate worth to. The English word worship comes from the old English word worth-ship, worth-ship. So it's something we ascribe worth to. That's worship. And so idolatry is giving ultimate worth to something that is not ultimately worthy. N.T. Wright He says it this way: an idol is anything that, though not itself divine, invites worship and service as if it were. 1 John is all about the wrong views of Jesus, which are ultimately wrong views of God, and about the behavior which follows from worshiping that which is not the true God. The Voice Bible translation drives it home with this reflection. This hits pretty hard. If we look carefully at our culture and into our own hearts, we will find that we are ultimately concerned about ourselves, our entertainment, our comforts, and our wallets. None of these are worthy of our highest devotion, but we put more time, energy, money, and emotion into these than we do into the one true God. So John's warning should be heeded. Watch out for the steady impulse to love other things more than God. So now it's starting to make sense how John concludes. It kind of seemed random at first, but it actually kind of ties everything together. And when you go back to that conclusion, it hits pretty hard. Listen to it again, how he concludes 1 John. He said, "We are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols." God is light. God is love. Eternal life is in him. The only thing that can thwart his life in us is turning aside to false substitutes. Jesus Christ, he is the true God and eternal life. Therefore, keep yourselves from idols, he says. There is the true God and there are counterfeits. There is true life and there is death. So John warns us as a wise guide, as an eyewitness of all these things, as a father in the faith, he warns us, little children, keep yourselves from idols. That word, that Greek word for keep in the original New Testament language, it's a strong word. It has the connotation of being watchful, being vigilant, like a shepherd watches the flock, or like a soldier keeps watch through the night. So if this is what John wants to leave us with, then we need to ask a big question to finish this series. How are you keeping watch against the counterfeit gods that threaten your life with the true God? How are you keeping watch against the counterfeit gods that threaten the life you have in the true God? If a group of soldiers goes on a mission in hostile territory, how watchful do you think they are in that situation? They take shifts standing through the watches of the night to make sure there's always someone being alert, being aware, standing guard. They're vigilant with every step they take because they're aware of the threat. Do you realize that you also are on a mission in enemy-occupied territory? John said that in that conclusion. He made it really clear that we are no longer under the power of the evil one because we're in Christ, but we live in a world. We live in a world that is under the power of the evil one because the world worships other gods that are not the true God. And so we should be on guard. We should be lovingly watchful. The enemy likes to come in ways that we least expect. That's the best way to attack somebody, right? Is when they're not expecting it, when they're not ready, when we're not paying attention. And so look around at this world we live in and pay attention. Pay attention. Idol worship is alive and well. Even if we give it different names and goes by different forms. When you look at the gods that were worshipped in ancient Rome during the time John wrote this letter, you just kind of survey who they were, what they stood for, you find that they represent all the things that we continue to worship today. Basically, it boils down to either power or pleasure. And those are what any of the idols and false gods stood for, and those are the idols that we still worship for in so many different ways today. Power or pleasure. Power as in strength, dominance, security, wealth. Pleasure as in sex, beauty, food, alcohol, entertainment. These things aren't evil in themselves, necessarily. Received in the right way, they are good gifts of God we're created for. But when we make them ultimate, when life depends on this, it becomes an idol, a substitute for the real life of God. For anybody who watched the commercials during the Macy's Day Parade, my kids love watching the Macy's Day Parade. They don't like watching like network TV any other time, you know what I mean? It's like, commercials, what? But, you know, they're all about that Macy's Day Parade. It's so fun. You know, you just like observe the commercials and just kind of like study it. Be like, huh, this is so weird sometimes how we do this thing. Or like, you know, the commercials during the football game or whenever you have it on. When you watch that marketing, when you watch those commercials and the kind of narratives that guide our society, you know, and our economy, right? Like, how many times do you see a message in those commercials that has to do with the themes of either power or pleasure? And how many times do you see it presented in such a way that it's like almost lifting it up as like an ultimate source of purpose? I mean, isn't that how it works? It's like, it's convincing me that this is going to complete my life. And I know it's not true, but it's like, it's telling me that story. Like, this is going to make you whole. This is the life you long for. This is your purpose. And this is why you should, you know, buy it or whatever, you know? Like, that's just how it works. That's how the game works. You know, one way to tell if something is an idol versus if it's just a good gift being enjoyed is to observe how people respond when you challenge or threaten that thing. How you respond. Anybody ever have a disproportionate reaction to a group of grown men playing a game on a field? Just me? You know? How does our culture tend to react when you question or threaten or challenge something like held very dear, you know? How does our culture tend to react when you question or challenge things like sexual expression or security or wealth or our perceived sense of freedom and how we understand that? How does our culture react? How do people respond? Do we react like these things are gracious gifts from a good God? Or do we view them as an ultimate good on which our life and identities depend? Dear children, be watchful, be on guard, be vigilant, beware, keep yourselves from idols. Because Jesus is the true God, and He is eternal life. He is the only source. And He is too good and too wonderful to forfeit for cheap substitutes. What if this morning, as we enter another big holiday season, we take stock of our lives and we ask God to expose and dethrone any idols that we've let sneak in and try to share the throne with God. We renew our watchfulness against anything that would try to sneak into our hearts and homes to distract us from the true God. We renew our awareness and alertness to just the reality of the world we're living in. When you have to expose and tear down some idols, it may seem like you're losing something. But the truth is, when you throw down your idols and renounce the world and the evil one, you are gaining the only thing that leads to the life you really long for. You're gaining God and His kingdom and eternal life, things that fake substitutes can never give. So why not just take this time as we enter the Advent season to pray, turn away from every falsehood and every counterfeit, and just turn wholly to the true God, the true God. That's the way in which we can really enjoy life anyway. Like when your worship and your life depends on the true God, everything else is just a gift, and you can enjoy it. Your life doesn't depend on it. Your life depends on God. Everything else is in its proper place. Let's turn towards Him. The one who has Him has life. The one who does not have Him does not have life. So keep yourselves from idols. The end. Let's pray. Sanctify us by your truth, God. Make us pure, make us holy as you are. Clean up the clutter in our hearts, God. And help us to stand tall in you, in your grace, in your truth. God, we draw this line in the sand today. Maybe we drew it before and it's faded and we need to draw it again. Maybe we need to draw it every day before our feet hit the ground. You are the true God. And we only worship one name, the name above all names, the name of Jesus. You are God. Everything else is secondary. We allow no thing to share your throne. No thing to share the throne of our hearts but you, Lord. God, search our hearts this morning as we worship you to just prepare us to go into a new season, an Advent season. Expose things that we need to remove and just get out of there and let go, and things we need to put into their proper perspective, God. We surrender to you again today because we want life. We want real life. We want abundant life. We want eternal life, God. And we know that that's only found in you. Lord, work through this room. Work through every person's heart here and show us the way that leads to life. Show us your way. We surrender to you today and we just lift high your holy name. It's the best thing we could ever do. It's just to praise you and worship you. Help us to worship you with our entire lives. Give you glory in the name of Jesus. God's people say, amen. Church, let's just rise. Let's worship.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people to Jesus and the new life He offers.